It is fairly clear that if you look over the history of film, you find that movies have changed a great deal over the years. I've been told this by a certain son of mine who says that those movies that I watched when I was growing up are really boring. They don't have as many things that blow up, apparently. We had good car chases sometimes or good horse chases, but we didn't have a whole lot of things blowing up into the sky as it is today. But the one thing I noticed recently about the movie industry is there has been a real return of this kind of superhero genre. The Superman, the Batman, Spider-Man, the Avengers, all these cartoons that we had in comic books as we were growing up over the years. And suddenly they've made really a big re-entry into, I guess, our culture in terms of the movies that we have. And I think there's a reason why that's the case. I think the reason really surrounds the fact that in those movies we have that one thing that seems to be lacking in today's movies in general, and that is a clear-cut hero. We like heroes. We like to be able to root for somebody. We like when the good guy gets the bad guy. We like not having to sort through things to be able to try to figure out who's good and who's bad when there's all that gray area going on. In our movies, there is a certain part of us that likes that black and white, that likes the ability to be able to know who it is we're rooting for and know who it is that we're rooting against, and hanging on there till the end with that hope that the good guy is going to win. In those old movies, there were pretty much clear-cut heroes in almost all of them. There wasn't a whole lot of gray and murky. Not a lot of explosions either. When I was growing up, and I assume there are other people like this, I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to be a superhero. I wanted to be the guy who was going to go in and rescue somebody. I was going to be the guy who wanted to combat evil. I wanted to be the guy that people would look to and go, "Wow, what a guy." But that's not the way our world works. We don't have that sense of having superheroes because our lives are a lot like today's more modern movies. We've got a whole lot of gray area that we live in. We try to be good. We try to be the hero. We try to be the one who's there battling just for justice and right in the American way. But the reality is we're not always on that path. Sometimes we veer off into different areas and don't act so hero-like. And for us to be able to truly be a hero, there's a fairly significant price to be paid. And then that sense of who we are as a hero doesn't last too long. I'll give you an example. Raise your hand if the name Arland Williams Jr. rings a bell. Arland's a true American hero. Probably a hero in every cultural sense. 1982, I think it was Air Florida Flight number 90, was taking off from what then was known as just National Airport in Washington, D.C. on a snowstorm. They hadn't properly de-iced the plane, and as they were going to leave, they lost altitude. One of the engines went out, and it crashed off of the 14th Street Bridge and ended up in pieces in the Potomac. I believe there were 6 people who survived. 4 of those people survived because of Arland. He was a passenger on that plane. Soon after the crash, one of the Park Service helicopters was sent into action, and was hovering very close to the surface of the Potomac, trying to pluck people out by putting a line down. Now, mind you, the Potomac was pretty well frozen over at that point. The water temperature was somewhere around 26 degrees, and so they didn't have a whole lot of time. When the helicopter came, it dropped the line down. Arlen grabbed the line, and instead of wrapping the line around himself, Arlen swam over to the next closest person, gave her the line. They got her to shore, they came back, dropped the line to Arlen, he swam to the next person. And this occurred four different times. And then when they came back to get Arlen, he had succumbed to hypothermia and ended up drowning. The hero. What do we do with our heroes? Well, the 14th Street Bridge is now the Arlen Williams Jr. Bridge. Probably didn't know that. He was from North Carolina. There is an elementary school in North Carolina named after him. And he was a student at the Citadel, and there's a memorial for him at the Citadel. A true hero. An example of sacrificial giving, of being able to not think about yourself or what you're going to get out of something, but rather what it is that you can do at that very moment. And the sacrifice was, of course, and unfortunately, his life. Because the ironic thing is, if you think about it, it would be people like Arlen that we would want to have around. Because it's people like Arlen who make a difference. It's people like Arlen who aren't worried about what they're getting out of a situation, but rather what they can put into a situation. It is people like Arlen that walk forward through life and say, what is it that I can do? And in a split second, he decided what it was he could do as he floated there in the Potomac, not worrying about himself as much as the people around him. In today's second lesson, there's a whole long list of the things we're not supposed to do, all those bad and naughty things that we're supposed to stay away from. But at the beginning of that second lesson, the first thing we're told is that we need really to be about love and loving. And it's not the loving where we have some kind of romantic thing going on. It's not even the loving of family. It is the loving of sacrificial love that they're talking about in terms of what it is that we have to give, what it is that we are able to do. It is the love that Arlen Williams Jr. demonstrated that January day in 1982. It is the same sacrificial love that we're called to give. Now that's the catch. So if we're all going to be Arlen Williams Jr., we're not going to have much of a church left, are we? But you see, I don't believe that sacrificial giving is solely about giving your life. That is one aspect of it, but sacrificial giving really is about sharing that love that God has given us in a variety of different ways. It is about understanding that what we give to other people, we give not because we want to, but we give because we know we should or we have to. And there's a difference there. I guess simply put, sacrificial giving is doing the things that we don't want to do. Sacrificial giving is when that thought flies through our mind, well, I really don't want to do this. I have something better to do. This isn't really a whole lot of fun. I could be sitting at home watching TV. I could be playing on my PlayStation, because I know a lot of you do that. I could be taking a nap. I could be going out to eat. I could be going somewhere fun. I could be visiting with friends. I could be visiting with neighbors. I don't need to be doing this. I have better things to do with myself. But the reality is the sacrificial giving that God calls us into is a giving where we take ourselves and we place our wants and our desires off to the side to be able to offer to God and to the world around us those things that we know that we can give, those things that we know that we can do at any given moment. And so it ends up being, because this is that day that those Chicago-based Lutherans in the ELCA have designated as God's work, our hands, that we're supposed to go out and do a project. Why do I say they're from Chicago? Well, because the Bears play in Chicago. The Bears haven't been so good. So obviously these people don't give a whit about the beginning of the NFL season or having us out doing things instead of watching TV. That is sacrificial giving. And so as we gather together as a congregation, and we go out for those of us who are going to come back and able to go up and down the street just to be able to pick up trash, when we know we all have something better we'd rather be doing, we do this not for ourselves. We do this on behalf of God. Because God doesn't come down and pick up the trash. God counts on us to do that. God doesn't come down and feed the hungry. God counts on us to do that. God doesn't come down and visit the people and visit the sick. God counts on us to do that. God doesn't come down to comfort the neighbor. Because again, God counts on us to do that. T-shirts are a symbol of what we do. If you think about all the superheroes, what do the superheroes have? Come on, Denny, what do the superheroes have? They all have their own identity in their uniforms, their sense of being an alternative person. When they put their, what do you call it? It's not a uniform, it's not a costume, it's a what? Suit. I'm really lost here now. Yeah, well, when you put your cape on, you put your whatever, your outfit on, you're becoming something else. And you're doing what you do as a superhero hidden behind that identity. These shirts are our uniform. They're our identity that represents to the world around us who see us with them as we go about doing God's work with our hands. The understanding that we're not doing it by ourselves, but we are doing it as a gathered people, as the people of living water, as the people of Christ, as God's children, reaching out to the world, doing those things that God would have us do, doing them on behalf of the God who has given us the life, the ability, the love, and the skill to be able to sacrifice whatever it is that we'd rather be doing on behalf of the world in which we live. Doing it out of gratitude to the God who has placed us here to give us the ability to make these choices. Choose to do what we want, or to do what we should. The ability to step forth into this world and boldly represent this God who has given us life by doing His work with our hands. That is sacrificial living. That is the love that God requires of all of us. Amen. I invite you to stand.